Hello, dearest patrons. Welcome back to another BungaCast Reading Club, the penultimate reading club of the 2022 series. This is the second one on neo-feudalism or techno-feudalism with an emphasis on the techno. We'll come to that in just a second because we're going to start off by discussing your comments from the last one. Just to remind you, the last one was on The Coming of Neo-Feudalism by Joel Kotkin. But firstly, hello, George. Hello, Phil.
Hey.
Hey, good to see you.
Good to see you. We're all very blue today, but in a good way, in a happy way. We've all got these blue backgrounds on, which makes us look like floating orb heads in blue space, just to conjure up
it's
kind
pretty
of
good
feeling. I think it's appropriate as we're going to be discussing artificial intelligence, emphasis on the artificial, maybe not so much the intelligence. But anyway, that's to be seen. On the last reading club, which came out on the 4th of November, a couple of comments. Firstly, Eli says, I just want you guys to know I comment on your podcast obsessively because every time I listen to a normie politics podcast like Ezra Klein, they're completely insufferably liberal, anti-economistic, anti-materialist. Thank you. That's nice to hear, at least in contrast to the other crap. With respect to the question of neo-feudalism, if we're going to narrow from PMC to clerisy, then we have to be more critical of their objective role. They, meaning the clerisy, mostly don't manufacture consent or ideology de novo. They manufacture resignation. They protect the nonprofit industrial complex, that is academia, NGOs, money-losing media, etc., from mass entry. Whether they're woke or based about it doesn't really matter as long as normies can't get involved and steer organizations towards mass action. I kind of like that mass manufacturing resignation.
Yeah, I don't think that fully captures it, though. It's not just about exclusion or kind of managing boundaries. I think there is also a kind of an ideological role of maybe not manufacturing resignation, but manufacturing dissent. So like an oppositional kind of seemingly oppositional posture in relation to the status quo that actually reinforces it. But I do, yeah, it's not a bad phrase at all, manufacturing resignation.
I think that's a good point, George. I mean, you think about a lot of kind of whatever green politics, which presents itself as oppositional, but isn't really, and it kind of narrows the bounds of what kind of the legitimate opposition might be. And in that regard, it does manufacture consent by manufacturing dissent. Yeah, I think that's quite good. Phil, any comment on that? No, you're shaking your head. Okay. Well, you'll have your chance to speak. Plechazunga says, feudalism as a political form is partially the result of the difficulty of projecting force over a large geographical area, i.e. the state consists of the capital city and its outlying hinterlands, but regional elites continue to hold real power because you just don't have the technology to dominate them completely. Yeah, and I think, just as an aside, I think it's not just a question of technology. What we're seeing is a similar problem when it comes to the internet today. You have big tech and big finance who have access to extremely powerful computers, the proximity to which equals money, power, and influence in our world. To the extent that the state is currently losing an arms race of control over these big computers, server farms, etc., you get feudal-like formations. Regional tech duchies, neo-Venetian finance powers of New York and London, who have certain formal relationships or intertwinings with the real state. Is it possible to imagine the state could catch up and redominate these regional elites in the new space of internet virtual economy? Eli just replies to that, saying if the state started locking down intellectual property produced in universities instead of giving it away, yes, a lot of tech R&D is basically parasitical on public funding. Phil?
I'm not sure. Sorry to jump in there. I'm not sure that intellectual property produced in universities is given away, though. I think the publishing industry would have something to say about that if that were the case. I know that the journal publishers are not particularly keen on information wanting to be free. But
that's not
the
only output, though, I think, right? Like, the idea is that there's lots more technology, which is, you know, just speaking specifically of technology that is developed in universities, which is then, made profitable in private companies.